Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, the destiny, and the purpose of God. In this 15-minute empowerment, we're going to be encouraged in our walk of faith, encouraged in the process that we go through as believers, being made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, being shaped and becoming more and more like Him, allowing the destiny and the call of God to be fulfilled in our life as we allow His purpose and His plan to be seen in such a way that others will be drawn to the light and the love of Jesus Christ. We are that city that is set upon a hill. We are that light. We are that salt. And they will only see Jesus Christ through us. And God will use our everyday situations, our everyday circumstances, to allow us to grow more and more in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that as we apply the Word of God and live that Word out, we are becoming more and more like Him. We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him, holy and acceptable, which is our duty, our job, our reasonable service unto Him. We do this every day by allowing the will of God to be done in our lives, and we are conforming not to the world's way, not to the world's desires or the world's voice or the enemy's voice or even our flesh, but we're commanding our lives to look and act and become and to manifest the character, the love, the Word, the life, the truth, the power of Jesus Christ. So we are those vessels. So our process of there is a continual process where we see the demonstration of God's power in our lives. We have been studying and looking at the unlikely place of blessings in this series that begun last year is continuing. And this series basically lets us see that our lives sometimes do not pattern the picture that we have, and that there are places that you are placed in, situations that you're placed in, and the people that we've studied, and it looked like God had forsaken them, God was not with them, or that even the plan or the purpose of God was not going to come through. But in the midst of it, in the unlikely place, the place that they could not see God, He shows up in that place and He causes them to be blessed. He blesses them with his favor, with His life, with His truth, with His word, and He blesses them not only to bless their house and their family, but a nation. And God will sometimes use you in situations that you never expected, and He will show up in a way that seems like every door, avenue is closed to show Himself strong and mighty in your life. We're going back again and looking at David and an unlikely place of blessing for him. He was chosen by God to be the king of God's people, and how he is now being trained in the process of becoming the king. That everything in his life, God has allowed to happen in his life from the time he was a young child, a young man working in his father's field, tending the sheep, and to now even working and being part of Saul's kingdom, his royal family by marrying his daughter, and even now because of the anointing on his life, how he's being ran and chased by not only Saul, but his army and anyone that basically knows Saul and knows that he's king, they're coming after David. So David is running, and he's in this unlikely place, but God is going to be with him in the midst of the unlikely place and show him goodness and kindness. And you have to understand that sometimes you are going to go through things that does not seem fair. It is not what you've sown, but it's a part of the process of what you have to go through, part of the experience of what you have to go through. How David basically is groomed and grown to be the king of that God has called him to be is because anything that he goes through, instead of him reverting to what he normally would do, what someone else normally would do, he displays the character of Jesus Christ. He displays compassion and mercy and grace, and he displays the heart of a true worshiper. And that does not come overnight. David is being made to become more and more like Christ. And even though he's not perfect, that his good, his good character, his heart, his integrity, his worship experience, his worship life speaks more or sounds more than the mistakes that he would ever make as a king or as a man. And it lets us see that even as God's anointed, you can make mistakes, you can fall, but God is gracious and merciful. And because of that, he's able to raise us up and use us for his glory, that there's no one that's infallible. There's no one that is perfect but God. And so as we look and we study these people in the Bible and we see their lives, we see the frailty of who they are, but we see the heart of them that says, I'll trust God and I believe God and I'll pant for him, I'll run after him, I'll chase him and I'll stand on his word. And because of that, God gets the glory out of their life and God uses them for his purpose and his plan. David is here, and he is now in the cave of Adullam, and he's here because he went to try to go into the Philistine country. He's kicked out of the Philistine country because he begins to act mad, and the king says, I don't want another madman. Why do I need another madman in my army? And David had a reputation of being a great, mighty warrior. Even in these other countries, they recognized that, because if you were going to take down Goliath and kill him and cut his head off, you had to be a very mighty man. The songs that the Israelite women sung concerning David, saying that Saul has killed his thousand and David his 10,000, had even reached the ears of these other nations. And they themselves feared David and knew he was a mighty man, and that whatever he put his hands to, he accomplished it, especially in battle. And so there are things in your life that God will allow the gifting of who you are, the anointing of who you are, to be heard and seen by other people. And they will know that your heart and your might and everything that you are is for God, and that you do with everything in you for the glory of God. So you will have a reputation of being that the intercessor, that teacher, that preacher, that pastor, or that servant of God, and they will see that the anointing is on you to do it, that it's just not talent, but it's an anointing. There are talented people in the world, but it takes them the anointing of God to destroy yokes, to break yokes, to do what he's called you to do. You need his anointing. So David was anointed by God, chosen by God to do a great thing. In this time frame that David is now gone into the cave of Adullam, running from Saul, he's hiding out. The priests that helped him have been murdered, and the son of Amalek has come to David and told him about what has happened. And so David, basically, when he hears this, he blames himself. He blames himself partly because the priest gave him bread and a sword, and he feels as if he had not gone there, they would not have suffered at the hands of Saul and his men. The men that were with Saul knew not to touch the priest, but it was one person, Edomite, who was in the company of the priest because he was paying a vow that he needed to pay to the Lord. Saw David there, went back and told Saul, and whenever the opportunity came, he told the information to Saul, hoping to get in the graces of Saul. So he killed the priest. He killed their family, went back to the village, and he killed the women, the children, the babies, the men that were there, whether they were young or old, the remained in the village of the priest. He killed all the animals, and he did all of this hoping to get in the favor of Saul, hoping to get a prestige, a position, hoping to gain respect. And all he did was set himself up for the judgment of God later on to happen and occur in his life. Now, Saul himself was not in a place where he could think. He was paranoid. He was fearful because the Spirit of God left him. So he was in a place where he had no peace. He was being tormented. And when you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in your life and upon your life, there is a tormenting spirit, a tormenting presence, a tormenting a place that happens, and people become paranoid, afraid, worried, distressed. They have anxiety and all these different things because the peace of God is not resting on them, and they have not learned to walk in trust with God, and knowing that no matter what happens in your life, because you belong to God, you're going to be okay. David had even though he was running for his life, there was a part of him that knew that God could let his word not come to pass. And that you have to have that same assurance. There's been some things that God has promised you and spoken in your life. You have to rest in the fact that God can't lie, that he's going to make his word and his will come to pass in your life. And you're going to see the manifestation of his power. And because you trust him, even though you're going through these places that seem as if they're valleys and shadows of death, and that death is trying to overtake you in some area of your life, kill out a dream, kill out the hope, kill and mess with that family, that marriage, that business, that career, your physical health, that ministry, whatever it is, that enemy is trying to put out there a shadow of something trying to destroy you. God is not going to allow it to happen. Even in the song that David wrote, he says, I will not fear, for you're with me. There was an assurance in him that says, I cannot go out not fulfilling what God said, because I'm his servant, and I didn't call myself to this. I didn't anoint myself to this. I've been anointed and called to this purpose. And if God is not able to fulfill his word concerning my life, then what he said was of naught. Then it meant that it was not going to happen anyway. But because God spoke it, because God said it, he had to be what God said, because he was his servant, and he was in the will of God, and he was committed to the will of God, and he wanted to do the will of God. So God is going to make sure that that happens. He was not bucking against God or trying to do anything other than what God said. He wanted to please God. You want to please God. You have a heart to please him. And if you do, then God is going to make sure that word that he's given you comes to pass. He's going to make sure it happens in your life. If he spoke the word concerning you, then look for, expect it, the manifestation and the evidence of that to be in the land of the living. And those who heard that word and know that word for your life, to see it and be a witness that it came to pass, that they might even tell and encourage others, God did it for them. He's going to do it for you too. Hold on, be steadfast, be unmovable, abide in the word and the will of God, live in his purpose and his plan and not your own, and God will take care of the rest. David gets here, and he hears about what has happened, and he hears about all that has occurred. And as I said before, he recognized that basically this was against all the will of God, and it happened because he was there. He blamed himself because he knew that this would not have happened if Doeg had not sought him with the priest. David told Abner's son to stay with him and remain with him, and he was going to protect him. And he basically was letting him know, recognize that no matter what, they're going to have to kill me to get to you. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let you go down. So he understood that the sovereignty of God and that the anointing of God was going to produce something that his people, the ones that were following him, needed to see. And you need to recognize that when you're going through a hard place, God is going to fulfill some things in your life. He's going to prophesy over your life and prophesy the life of who he is. Now, what we see when the priests are all killed, it's part of the prophecy that God gave in 1 Samuel 2, verses 27 to 36, because the priest was part of Eli's family, and God gave a word concerning Eli's family, and it says in 1 Samuel 2 and 31, behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling, despite all the good which God does it for Israel, and there shall not be an old man in the house, in your house forever. He was prophesying, God was prophesying to Eli because he would not deal with his sons, and because they were the Levites, the priests, and because of what they'd done, and he would not deal with them and all the wrong that they'd done, God's punishment was that they were not going to the old men in the house of the Lord. They will always be in a place where they will see young men, but they will not be old, which meant the prophecy of when they were killed, when they were killed, when these priests were killed, even though it was done wrongly, it was the fulfillment of what God was saying concerning that lineage because of one man's disobedience and the breeding of what he allowed to happen and manifest through the priestlyhood of the lineage, because the priest had to live a certain way. And that lets you understand and know, I don't care what people say about pastors who are going astray and doing all kinds of things, God knows how to deal with each one of us when we don't do what he says and we turn or we do something against his sheep. He knows how to deal with us. And sometimes dealing with us may not be in the timing of what folks believe or people want, because God has given us ample time to repent and change. But know that God is faithful to do all that he says, and he will do. We're going to go tomorrow in chapters 25 and 26. That's all the time we have for today. But I want you to be encouraged to know that God has got you, and no matter what, his word for your life is going to come to pass. Stand on that word, knowing that God is faithful, and even though weeping may do it for a night, your joy place, your victory place, your daylight is coming, and when it does, God's going to glory and praise for keeping you and for being faithful of his word. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Have a wonderful, blessed day, and we'll see you again tomorrow for 15 Minutes Empowerment on Favor Life. God bless.